Topic number 2. Recently, a former United States Secretary of Labor, William Ussery, paid a visit to Japan. In more and more fields, the United States can no longer compete with Japan in international markets. I warned that this was coming in my book, The Conspiracy Against the Dollar. Ussery went to Japan to see for himself why this is happening. But Ussery was not prepared for the shock he encountered. He visited all kinds of big manufacturing plants in Japan, and everywhere he went, he saw assembly lines made up of robots. What we think of as science fiction here in the United States is everyday reality in modern Japan. For example, one of the plants visited by Ussery assembles Datsun automobiles. After his walk through it, the Washington Post quoted him as saying, "It was downright scary. We walked for great distances down those aisles, and we didn't see anybody." My friends, we in America are living in the past. Our stores may be filled with pretty packages, but the other advanced nations of the world are passing us by. That is one of the things which I have been trying to make you aware of for years through my audio letter reports. And now, a special report is about to be presented to the White House which confirms part of what I told you. To illustrate this, let me remind you of the many disastrous reversals in America's fortunes which have taken place secretly in recent years. I have made many of them public through my audio letter. We have been defeated in space. We have slipped into a hopeless military predicament. As I have made clear in the past, it is our own leaders who have done this to us. For example, nearly 20 years ago, our leaders ignored the urgent warnings of the head of the Strategic Air Command. He was the late General Thomas Power. General Power was worried about a threat on the technical horizon of electrogravitic levitating weapons platforms. He wanted the United States to develop these hovering platforms so that we would not be caught by surprise. But as I detailed in AUDIO LETTER 32, our leaders paid no attention. They thought they knew better. They had other plans. But our leaders were making a grave mistake. It was only one of many great miscalculations during the past 20 years. They were underestimating the potentials for technical surprise, because for the most part, America's leaders, in and out of government, are not trained in science or engineering. Just as General Power had feared, Russia did develop the floating weapons platforms. They are called Cosmospheres, and their deployment over our heads began in late 1977, as I first reported in AUDIO LETTER 29. They announced their presence for a while by creating tremendous air booms along America's east coast and elsewhere. This they did by means of defocused blasts from their charged particle beam weapons, and like the Cosmospheres themselves, Russia's operational particle beam weapons came as another surprise to our rulers. The report which is about to go to the White House says not a word about these life and death secrets, but the report does describe the scientific backwardness of America's leaders. In Great Britain, France, Germany, Japan, and especially in Russia, the report points out that things are very different. In those countries, the leadership, quote, "has a high level of scientific and technical literacy," unquote. By contrast, the report describes the progressive splintering of American society into two groups. One group is the minority, who are trained and work in science and engineering. The other group includes the great majority of us. We are being left uneducated about most of the ever-changing realities of modern technology. The report being prepared for the White House is accurate enough as far as it goes, but what it leaves out is even more important than what it says. Because the division of American society into two camps, one technically trained and one not, is no accident. The old axiom, divide and conquer, is still true as ever. On one hand, the scientific and engineering community itself is manipulated constantly without being aware of it. The secret Minuteman TX missile project is a typical example. But for the rest of us, the situation is even more confusing. So the few who are in a position to pull all the strings have us at their mercy. Earlier this month, an outstanding authority on constitutional law passed away, Professor Fred Rodel of Yale University. In a book titled Woe Unto Lawyers, he wrote some words which are a perfect description of our situation today. He said, quote, "For every age, there is a group of bright boys, learned in their trade and jealous of their learning, who blend technical competence with plain and fancy hocus-pocus to make themselves masters of their fellow men." Unquote. In some ways, the problems we face today are not new at all. Earlier this month, this fact was illustrated by a series of biographical dramas on the Public Broadcasting Service. They dealt with the life of a British writer who became Prime Minister, Benjamin Disraeli. Disraeli spent his life struggling against the things he considered unfair within the British government. And in a novel, he once wrote, quote, "The world is governed by very different personages to what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes." Unquote. That was true a century ago, and it is true today. But in other ways, today is different from the past. The difference is that incredible technologies which are unthinkable in Disraeli's time are now changing our world. Throughout history, there has always been unseen skirmishes, undeclared battles, and unofficial wars. But today, these have reached levels never imagined in the past. Even as we see the multiplying public signs of war to come, secret warfare is growing more intense by the day. During the 4 months of my absence from this microphone, there have been too many of these events to discuss in detail. But I have already given you the background for all of these events in past audio letters. So what I will try to do now is simply to remind you of what you already know to understand recent headlines. A bird's eye view of the past several months will make one thing all too clear. The secret war between the United States and Russia is becoming more and more violent. The satanic Bolsheviks, who have been overthrown and expelled by Russia, are tightening their stranglehold on our own country. And the secret Christian sect, who took over the Kremlin, are pressing ahead in a war of attrition. With one hand, they are still keeping the lid on all-out war. But with the other hand, they are chipping away at America's ability to make war. In the final printed portion of AUDIO LETTER 54 last February, I gave a warning to expect bad weather in the United States. I described how Russia had begun a campaign of weather modification to reduce crops in the United States. This is in direct retaliation for the Carter grain embargo, which the Russians regard as starvation politics. As March began, a killer snowstorm blanketed the southeast, and many crops were damaged. A month later, killer rainstorms struck New Orleans, much as they had done in February in California. But meanwhile, the grain-bearing breadbasket of the Great Plains were becoming parched and dry. By the end of April, it was already guaranteed that grain yields in large areas will be reduced this year. As the spring continued, severe weather turned into a record-setting epidemic nationwide. Every single day from May 9 to June 7, tornadoes or other severe and destructive weather struck somewhere in the United States. During the final 2 weeks of that period, the National Weather Service reported 964 cases of violent weather. On May 29, the United States tried to launch a new weather satellite to watch the fireworks, but the satellite, called NOAA-B, never reached its intended orbit. Earlier this month, America's unprecedented weather took a new turn. There was a strange split in the jet stream. Cool northern states grew even colder, and warm southern states boiled over with heat. On June 16, there was even frost in Michigan and Wisconsin, while the South sweltered. A few days later, on June 20, the so-called Carter administration gave the first hint that Russia's weather war is really hurting. For the first time, there were hints of possibly lifting the Russian grain embargo, but the next day, the Bolsheviks changed their minds again. They said the grain embargo will continue, so as of now, there is no prospect of an improvement in America's weather. Instead, it may well grow worse, and the food shortages I warned about last February are in the making. In AUDIO LETTERS 53 and 54, I reported the details of secret warfare involving Iran. Starting in late January, the Bolsheviks here in America tried to carry out a surprise nuclear attack against Russia. The plan they were following was the one I first made public in AUDIO LETTER 37, with some additions. As I reported, the Russians used their cosmospheres to completely ruin the American attack plan. Nuclear war hysteria had been building fast here in America, but with our secret defeat, the war chant stopped abruptly. Our defeat in January was kept out of view and completely secret. But the Bolsheviks here tried again to set off nuclear war just 3 months later in April. Once again, the American war plan met with total failure, but this time our rulers could not hide it completely. The April 25 raid into Iran, supposedly to rescue our hostages, became a disaster that filled the headlines. The American commandos who were sent into Iran tried their best to follow orders and do their duty, but unknown to them, those who had planned the raid did not intend for it to succeed. They were supposed to reach Tehran, but discovered too late that they were too small a force to do the job. As soon as the commandos ran into big trouble, that was to be used as an excuse for American Navy jets to strafe Tehran. And with American passion stirred up, the Iran crisis was to escalate with additional military moves. But for more than a year now, Russian intelligence has been informed about even the most secret plans in Washington. And so the Russians were ready. They unraveled the latest Bolshevik war plan in two ways. First, a huge armada of cosmospheres were floating overhead on April 25 as the American helicopter force entered Iran. Using their weather modification capabilities, the cosmospheres intensified dust storms in the area. They also utilized microwave brain-scrambling radiation to cause nausea, disorientation, and fatigue among the helicopter crews. The Russian brain scrambler is the same technology which I first revealed in AUDIO LETTER 20. The Russians were hoping to cause the mission to be given up as hopeless without casualties, but the American commando force reached its first checkpoint, regrouped, and prepared to continue. So the cosmospheres turned up their brain scrambling transmitters to full power. One helicopter took off, but veered off crazily and sliced into a C-130 troop transport airplane. Two others prepared to take off, but cosmospheres overhead fired low-power bursts from their particle beams. Rotor blades flew off, and the helicopters went nowhere. At that point, it was obvious that it was all over. The raid was aborted, and all energy shifted to efforts to explain away the disaster to the public. Soon, the charred bodies of slain commandos were flown home to Dover Air Force Base, Delaware. It was the second time in less than 2 years for Dover to receive bodies from a secret commando raid by the United States. The first time, they had paid the price for a successful operation in Guyana, as I detailed in AUDIO LETTER 40, but this time they died in total defeat. The Bolsheviks here might still have stoked up a military crisis over Iran, but the Russians made a chess move to prevent that. On April 28, the individual known to the public as Cyrus Vance resigned as Secretary of State in protest. This checkmated the Bolsheviks by making a public issue of any plans to pursue additional military moves. Another headline story in the Secret War was the explosion of Mount St. Helens in Washington State on May 18. This was followed by a second eruption on May 25 and another major blast this month on June 13. At the same time, there has been a sharp increase in the number of strong earthquakes along the West Coast, especially in California. The first awesome cataclysm on May 18 took government scientists by surprise. They did not expect anything so violent to happen without plenty of warning. But when the mountain blew its top, even the unfortunate government geologist on the scene detected no warning signs. He had only enough time to grab his radio and shout, "Vancouver, Vancouver, this is it." Then the radio went silent as the blast wave reached him. Up until the awful surprise of May 18, government spokesmen were playing down Mount St. Helens. No reason to expect much, they kept saying, but now, after the fact, they are changing their tune. Now they say that other volcanic mountains of the Cascade Range also look dangerous. There are just too many earthquakes going on, among other things. At least a dozen mountains in the Pacific Northwest now look suspicious, by some accounts, especially Mount Rainier, Mount Baker, Mount Hood, and most of all, Mount Shasta in Northern California. Mount Shasta is especially worrisome because it overlooks a major agricultural center, California's Central Valley. But it is also worrisome for other reasons. My friends, what we are seeing are the beginnings of a geophysical disaster along America's west coast. Powerful natural forces are involved, but they are being guided and speeded up by deliberate means. I am talking about geophysical warfare. The stage has been set for the events now underway for over 3 years. I first reported the presence of Russian nuclear mines in major western dams in Audio Letter 23, and one of the dams I named then was the one on Mount Shasta. The following month, in Audio Letter 24, I report on Russia's preparations for geophysical warfare. It involved triggering awesome forces around the Pacific Rim, known as the Ring of Fire. America's west coast, which is strategic both militarily and agriculturally, will be devastated. In Audio Letter 24, I listed the locations of 7 undersea hydrogen bombs on the ocean floor west of Washington, Oregon, and California. I can now reveal that these were detonated one by one in early March. Their tidal wave potential was avoided by firing them individually. Instead, they were used to trigger flows of volcanic magma toward the Cascade Mountain Range. What nature was already doing slowly started speeding up. By mid-May, Mount St. Helens was approaching the eruption point, but left to itself, the mountain might have released the tremendous pressures inside slowly in one moderate eruption after another. So the Russians made use of their cosmospheres to make sure that it exploded all at once with awesome power. Just after 8:30 a.m. on that Sunday of May 18, a squadron of cosmospheres started firing at the north peak of the mountain. They fire their particle beams in short pulses, one after another, in succession. The result was a series of machine gun-like explosions and flashes around the summit of Mount St. Helens. The mountain started vibrating. Cracks opened up. The pressure could be contained no longer, and the mountain exploded. The particle beam flashes would have been spectacular if seen close up, but almost everyone close enough to see them died in the overwhelming blast that followed. The same technique was used again to release the second blast on May 25, but that eruption was not as violent, and a few people who saw the flashes lived to tell about it. On May 26, UPI carried a news item giving the reactions of 2 witnesses. once said that the volcano, quote, "rocked out all of a sudden. We were awake in a hurry. Then the flashes woke us all the way up. The thunder that went with it would rattle your bones. It was like a million little explosions, then a big crash," unquote. My friends, it remains to be seen just how far the geophysical warfare now underway will go. But I can only remind you of the warning I gave last October 1979 in Audio Letter 51. The exact words I used then were, "The Kremlin is debating whether the time has come after all to unleash the great man-made catastrophe on America's West Coast." Topic number 3. This topic will be very brief because it's based on information which is very sketchy up to now, but it could turn out to be very important, so I want to alert you now without further delay. The worldwide struggle today is between two ancient and bitter enemies. Both want to control Russia and thereby to determine the fate of the world. One faction is that of the atheistic Bolsheviks, who seized control of Russia in 1917. The other faction is a secret native Christian sect in Russia who worked for 6 decades to overthrow the Bolsheviks. For years now, the new rulers in the Kremlin have been expelling their old enemies, the old Bolsheviks, from Russia. And the Bolsheviks from Russia have been flooding mostly here to the United States. And right under our very noses, they are taking away our freedoms in a sophisticated new Bolshevik revolution. I have discussed all this before, especially in Audio Letters 28, 29, and 38. We are seeing the climax of a larger war of 1,000 years. It's the war between the Russians and the Khazars, which I described in Audio Letter 50 last fall. In the spring of 79, I revealed that a secret intelligence war of doubles had broken out in Washington. The Bolsheviks here had upset America's former rulers, the 4 Rockefeller brothers, and were preparing for war. The Russians responded by intervening directly within our own government. The Bolsheviks were replacing key American leaders with doubles, and the Russians were replacing those with their own doubles. I revealed the war of doubles in Audio Letter 45. The following month, I revealed that Russia was deploying a secret weapon in the war of doubles. They were not human doubles, but genetic replicas of the people they were replacing. These are biological robots of a type known as organic robotoids. They look and act human, but they are not human. Instead, they are advanced products of genetic engineering. Less than 6 months later, in Audio Letter 51, I revealed that the Bolsheviks here in America were counterattacking with their own type of biological robots. These are called synthetic automatons. When I first revealed what I did about man-made genetic replicas of human beings, I braced myself against ridicule, and I have been condemned in countless letters telling me that man cannot create new forms of life. Genetic engineering was not in the news a year ago, but less than 2 weeks ago, the United States Supreme Court handed down a landmark decision. They have proclaimed that new forms of life created by man can be patented, and my friends, there will be a rush to the patent office. At this very moment, there are over 100 patents pending for man-made life forms. If Professor Frankenstein were alive today, he too could patent his monster. The Russians and the Bolsheviks are locked in a continual tug of war using their genetic replicas. When the White House is occupied by Bolshevik synthetics, American policy reflects a Bolshevik line. But whenever the Russians manage to replace synthetics with their own robotoids, White House policy is made in Moscow. The result is a never-ending series of policy reversals, which are mystifying many editorial writers. A famous example was the United States vote against Israel at the United Nations last March. It was defended for 2 days and then suddenly disavowed. the anti-Israel vote was ordered by Russian robotoids. But 2 days later, the Bolsheviks eliminated them and used their own synthetics to disavow the vote. For many months now, this hidden tug of war has been rocking the United States government. But now, there is a chance that the same thing will soon be happening in the Russian government as well, because during the past 2 months, the Bolsheviks here in America have succeeded in penetrating the Kremlin with synthetics. Several top leaders of the Politburo were recently killed and replaced with Bolshevik synthetics. One of these was the Kremlin strongman, Admiral Gorshkov. The Bolsheviks are using their synthetics in a new bid to retake control of Russia. But the ruling group in the Kremlin understand what they are up against, and they are fighting back. A few weeks ago, the Bolsheviks were on the verge of gaining the upper hand. Now, though, they've lost their initial advantage of surprise. In addition, the Bolsheviks are apparently having difficulties with the synthetics which they send into the Kremlin. Several synthetics have disobeyed their Bolshevik programming. Right now, the situation is far from clear. But one thing is certain. An unseen battle to the death is underway now in the Kremlin, and the outcome will affect everyone on the face of the earth. It is time now to give you my last-minute summary. In this audio letter, I've tried to give you a bird's-eye view of events over the past several months. The bottom line is that the drums of approaching nuclear war are beating louder and louder. Even more urgently, secret warfare is already underway, and it is becoming more and more violent. The explosion of Mount St. Helens last month was brought about by geophysical warfare. Likewise, the severe weather patterns in the United States over the past several months have been produced by weather warfare. The Russians are doing this in retaliation for the giant grain embargo by the Carter administration. The Russian weather war against the United States is intended to reduce our crops. In the Southwest, brutal heat is baking crops and killing cattle. And in the northern Great Plains, grain is dying in a 5-state region of severe drought. Russia's enemies here are not you and me, but the Bolsheviks, who are now in control of our government. The Bolsheviks here are also the deadly enemies of you and me. In 1917, Christian Russia was dragged down into the hell of Bolshevism, through the dark tunnel of war. Now the Bolsheviks are being expelled from Russia, so they are trying to do it all over again here in America. They are determined to throw America's nuclear arsenal at Russia, win or lose. Because either way, the Bolsheviks expect to pick up the pieces here in complete Bolshevik dictatorship. My friends, these are dangerous times indeed. But we must not lose heart. If you are ever tempted to throw up your hands and say, "I can't do anything," just think this over. All the weapons of war, all the propaganda, and all the controls of government has just one purpose. That purpose is to control you. If you give up and just close your eyes, you are giving them the very thing they want most. But as long as you keep your eyes open, see the truth as best you can and hold on to it, you are defeating them. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it long ago, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Until next month, God willing, this is Dr. Beter. Thank you, and may God bless each and every one of you.